It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Our guest this morning is my spirit dad, Pastor Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. You ever heard that before?
Highly flavored with his favor. Amen.
Amen. You might be the hostess with the cupcake today. Who knows?
Yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page, and we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. He said cupcake, so I said email. It's email, y'all. I don't know if y'all caught that, but I did. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we're thankful to be able to come together and over this media outlet and together right here in this room and gather over your word. Father, we believe that today you have a life-changing word for us, Father God. I want to thank you and praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what we face, what we're going through, whether we're here in Western Oklahoma or whether we're like Neva and Joe having appointments to keep in Oklahoma City today, we know that you're with us wherever we are. And Father, you are always looking out for our best interest. Father, you are always working things together for our good because you love us. And because you love us, we love you. We worship you this morning. We ask your blessing upon this program. Ask you to lead and guide everything that's done. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning. Watch your words.
Watch your words.
The Lord told me this morning, he said, you need to put your stinking thinking cap on your way in.
Your helmet of salvation, probably. Yeah. That's what that thing. It guards against stinking thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I hesitate to title a program like this, Watch Your Words, because very rarely do we like to be reminded that we need to watch our words. I don't like to be reminded of that. I mean, I know I'm guilty, and we're all guilty of not always speaking the way we should speak and talking the way we should talk, but you want to know the whole title. The whole title today is not you watch your words. The whole title today is watch your words and watch your life get better. And on the way over here, I was praying about what we're going to share, of course, and I feel like, well, to start like this, it's like this. If life has not been what you'd like it to be lately, I have good news for you. You can change it. A lot of times we will get stuck in this mindset that, you know, life is what it is, and all I can do is endure until God decides to do something about it. The truth of the matter, the truth, God has already decided to do something about it, and God has already done something about it. He sent Jesus Christ, his son, died on the cross, rose from the dead, received our justification, empowered us with his spirit, left us with his word, gave us his authority, gave us his power, and said, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do. So if we're sitting around waiting for God to change our lives, we might be sitting a while. Because God might be sitting on his throne saying, I've empowered you to change your life through my power. Now, I'm not saying you can change your life by yourself. I know you can't change your life by yourself. I can barely change my mind. You know, I can't change my life by myself. Because, you know, like in addiction, for example, you know, the thing that holds people in addiction more than anything else is this false belief that something's going to click and they're going to be able to get that demon under control. And it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. If you could have fixed it, you would have already fixed it. If you could have healed it, you would have already healed it. But the truth of the matter is, you can change the direction of your life. God has given you the ability to do it, and he's given you that ability through your words. Faith-filled words or fear-filled words, either way will change your life. Wholesome words or words that are perverted with fear and doubt and unbelief, frustration, those all can change your life for the better or for the worse. We're going to look at some scriptures today to prove this point. I don't want you to take my word for it. And I don't want someone to be listening to me and say, oh, he's going to talk about all that, name it and claim it, that prosperity gospel. And not really. I'm not going to be talking about naming it and claiming it and prosperity gospels. Although if it's not prosperity, it's not the gospel, because the gospel means good news. God didn't come to make you sick, broken, poor. You know, Jesus said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have that more abundantly. Life as God intended it. So how come if God intends me to have a good life, then how come my life ain't so good? Well, maybe you've been driving wrong. You know, it's not the manufacturer of the car's fault if you're always running off in the ditch.
Come on.
You got to steer. You got to direct. And so let's go to the book of James in the New Testament, back toward the back of your Bible. The book of James. James actually grew up in the same household Jesus did. James is Mary and Joseph's son. Jesus is Mary and God's son. But James grew up in that same household, brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, or half-brother. And James has got a lot of wisdom. You know, James is a short book in the Bible, just 5 chapters. But man, what a lot of wisdom imparted in that book. And in chapter 3, and I'm just going to look at a couple of verses. We could read the whole 3rd chapter, but it's kind of all about this topic. But I just want to pick up 2 verses of it here. He says this. He says, we put bits in horses' mouths to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Horses are strong. You're not able to turn that whole animal because your arm is stronger than that horse's neck. I got a horse, and Monica grabbed this bit right here. It's all rusted up from horse slobbers. But, you know, that thing going in their mouth, boy, when they have to put their mouth over that thing like that, like my hand, you pull on the side of it, it starts hurting that side of their mouth right there. You know, and pretty soon that you pull a little bit, you just put a little pressure on there, and they start turning, boy. They don't like that. You know, and God wants us to be, he doesn't want us to be like a horse or a mule that have no understanding. In Psalms 32, God promised, I will direct you and I'll guide you and I'll instruct you and I'll oversee you. But don't be like a horse or a mule that don't have understanding and they've got to be controlled by a bit. Because this bit hurts a bit, you know, a lot maybe. And so we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be pain trained. We want to be spirit led. And we want to let the Holy Spirit fill our hearts and our minds with the words that God wants us to speak. James, he's writing here, and he said, we can put a bit in the mouth of a horse, and with that, we can, with that little bit, we can direct that whole huge, strong animal. And then he goes on, he gives an even bigger example. He goes, we can turn the whole animal with that. He said, or, verse 4, take ships as an example. He said ships. He didn't say a little rowboat. He said ships. Take ships as an example. Although they are large and they are driven by strong winds, can I say this? Powerful circumstances. But it's not the circumstances that drive the ship, unless no one is minding the rudder. You know what happens in a lot of times in our lives? The reason why we wind up in a place we don't want to wind up in? It's because we're letting our lives be driven by strong winds instead of having a hand on the rudder. You say, well, what is the rudder? What's the rudder? He said he's talking about putting a bit in a horse's mouth, or he said like in a ship, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you want to go in life? I bet you're not going to say, well, I want to go in the ditch. I love going in the ditch. No, we don't like going in the ditch. But the fact of the matter is, the winds of life will blow you in the ditch if you don't steer. We've got to direct our lives. We've got to steer our lives. We're not, you know, the, we don't go through the life singing the old Doris Day worship song, K, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be. We, you know, a lot of people, honestly, though, a lot of people do live like that. They just think, well, you know, hey, whatever comes down the road toward me, it must be God's will. You know, if it's sickness, well, it must be God's will because God knows, you know. God's trying to get my attention. I'm like, really? My Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church, that he'll, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth, not sickness, not pain, not problems. Now, obviously, we get pretty sensitive to seeking the Lord when problems come our way, don't we? You know, a lot of times if life's going well, we're so busy enjoying the goodness of life that we don't stop to listen to God. Boy, but you get knocked on your back and you're looking up and you're going, okay, God. Well, we need to be going, okay, God, all the time. Don't let life have to come and knock you flat on your back before you'll look up to God. Live your life looking to God all the time, and you might stay off your back. So watch your words and watch your life get better. James is saying that just like you guide a horse with a bit and a ship with a rudder, he goes on and says this, likewise, that's the first word of verse 5, likewise, and I'm going to say it this way, in the same way you direct a horse with a bit or a ship with a rudder, he said, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. And then he said this, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. In other words, he's reminding us, man, there's a lot of power in that tongue. And just like a small spark can set a whole forest on fire, your mouth running the wrong direction can burn your life up. Your mouth running the right direction can direct your course where you don't run into the, you know, if you're a ship, you don't want to run into the rocks on the shore. You don't want to wind up, say, well, I'm sailing over here to this port, but all of a sudden you find yourself over there. You got to direct where you want to go. And the way he's saying we do that is with words. Someone might say, well, I don't know. I'm not convinced. Well, let's keep looking. Proverbs, go to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 12, middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 12. And we're going to look at numerous places. We're not going to pull out a verse and make a doctrine out of it. We're going to search the whole counsel of the Word of God, and we're not even going to begin to exhaust this subject today. We're just going to hit the high points. And you can keep studying about the power of your words and how important they are to the course of your life. You can study that for a while. And we've looked at James. We're looking at Proverbs now. Go to 12th chapter, 13th verse. Proverbs 12:13 to start with here. Proverbs 12:13. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. How does a righteous man escape trouble? With his right talk. How does a sinful man get into trouble? With his sinful talk, wrong talk. Sinful, sometimes we'll go, well, I don't say cuss words anymore. Well, that's good. I'm glad you don't say cuss words anymore. But do you say curse words? You say, well, what do you mean curse words? So you say, oh, that stupid car don't ever start. Well, that's why it doesn't start. You're cursing it. You're cursing that. You're expecting it. You're saying it. You're believing it. Somebody say, I don't believe in all that stuff. I don't believe that's how it works. Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, how do you get saved? The Bible says you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess him with your mouth as Savior and Lord. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. There is not a Christian on this planet, born again Christian, who got born again any other way besides that. They got born again by believing in their heart and saying it with their mouth. And that is, in essence, what we're talking about here. So he says, an evil man is trapped by sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. Verse 14, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. I'm liking that. You want some good things in your life? Do you feel like you need more good things in your life? Man, life ain't going the way I want it to go. Well, change it. Change it. Change your words, and you will change your life. Now, it ain't like a television. You can walk up and hit the remote and change the channel instantaneously. Your words are going to have to, you didn't build up that mess by just saying something bad one time. You're going to have to continue to speak the right things. And there's a powerful key here, too. You can't have whatever you say. I'm going to just be real clear. I was preaching along these lines one time, had another minister hearing me. I was actually in the nursing home, and this minister's wife was there in that nursing home, and she was loving what I was preaching. But her husband, the minister, came up to me afterwards. He was an older gentleman. He said, "Do you really believe that you can have whatever you say?" I said, "No, I don't believe that. What makes you think I do?" And he goes, "Well, that's what you were just preaching." I said, "No, it wasn't. I was saying you can have whatever God says you can have if you believe it in your heart." There's a huge difference between saying, "Well, I believe I can have anything I say." You can't have anything you say. First of all, it needs to line up with what God says you're authorized to have in your life. And secondly, you've got to believe it in your heart before saying it with your mouth is really going to make a difference. And so, see, so that when I say that, some people go, "Well, that give me excuse because I didn't really mean that. I was just venting." We'll talk more about that later. What does it mean to vent? It means to let out what's on the inside. Well, that's a deep subject. We'll explore it later. Looking, continuing in Proverbs here, the fruit of his lips, with the fruit of his lips, a man's life is filled with good things. Watch this. As surely as the work of his hands reward him. Now, what does that mean? Well, it sounds to me like it means that what you say is just as important as what you do concerning the quality of your life. So you could be doing all the right things and working hard at your job and whatever else, but if every time you drive up in your driveway, you go, "Well, here's where the poor folks live." Why would you say that over yourself? Well, it's just cute. You like being poor? Keep calling yourself poor. And believe in it. And believe in it. You see, well, if I call myself rich, will that make me rich? If you believe it, it'll change the way you see yourself. It'll change the way you act. And yes, words matter. Because this Bible says right here that from the fruit of your lips, your life is filled with good things as surely as the work of your hands rewards you. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. We just read it. This is God's word, not our word. So, you say, "Well, that's just one scripture." I agree. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 2. Very next chapter. "From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things." I like it. "But the unfaithful will have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips," verse 3, "he who guards his lips guards his life. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Speaking rashly means I'm not thinking about what I'm saying. Paul wrote in Corinthians, he goes, "When I was a child, I thought like a child and I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways." What is it about a child compared to a mature adult in their thinking and speaking? Well, children don't think. They just speak. They speak whatever they feel. Well, most adults do too. And you can look around and a direct result of your speaking wrongly and believing wrongly, combination, is that you're going to get the results of that. And it's not an instantaneous thing. If it was, every time someone said, "Oh, my head is just, I've got a headache, feel like my head's about to explode." Well, I don't want to be there for that. I ain't helping clean that mess up. You know, it's not like that. It's not like, well, you just say something, bada bing, it just happens. I'm not trying to tell you that, but let me ask you a question. Do words matter? Just based on what we've read so far, and we're just barely getting started. Do words matter? Does it matter whether you claim and get your words in line with what God says? Like concerning your health, healing, does it matter whether you say, you know, well, things like this? I don't talk this way, but. You know, boy, my cancer is sure growing. My cancer, my whatever, blah, blah. It's like, I don't talk like that. I don't care what it is, whether it's big or small. If it's a sickness or it's a, something like an infirmity or if it's a problem, it's not mine. It's attacking me from the outside. It don't belong to me. If it belonged to me, then God wouldn't say, "You can pray for it and I'll take it away." Because why would God take away what belongs to you? Why would God take away what he put on you? He didn't put it on you. Jesus said, they said, show us the Father, Jesus. And Jesus goes, well, I've been with you for 3 years. Have you not seen me yet? And he went on, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, okay, I've seen Jesus. Through the Gospels, I've seen Jesus. You know what I've never seen Jesus do? I've never seen Jesus make someone sick. I've never seen Jesus come up on someone. Maybe they've got a tremendous need in their life. And he goes, well, just, you know, God put this poverty in your life so that you'd trust him. You'd need him. No. When they needed something, it was loaves and fishes to feed a multitude, Jesus supplied the need. If it was wine for a wedding party, Jesus supplied the need. He didn't say, you know, tough luck. He met the need. If it was healing, he met the need. If it was provision, he met the need. Protection in the storm, he met the need. His disciples says, oh, Lord, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus asked him, you know, where is your faith? You know, you could have done, but did he just leave it at that? No, he got up and rebuked the storm. So he met their needs. Jesus is a caring Savior. But he's not here on the earth to do it all for you. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's given us his name, his power, his authority, his word. And with his word, we can direct our lives just like a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a ship. Say, I don't like my life. Well, change it. Redirect the course. And stay on course. Stay on course. Don't be wandering around. Stay on course. Change the course you're on and stay on the right course. And the longer you do that, the better life is going to get. You know, I can't tell you how many people, if we could line them up in here, there are a lot of people over the years that I've told them this. I've said, you know what? God wants you to have a better life. They come to me broken, you know. God wants you to have a better life. And he will forgive, and he will restore, and he will heal, and he will give you wisdom. But you're going to have to, you walked into this thing one poor decision at a time, and you're not coming out in one simple step. In God's sight, you can come out in one simple step. Repentance makes you new in God's sight. He takes your sin away immediately, but the circumstance may still have to be dealt with. And it can take time, but the way you come out of the valley is you walk out one step at a time, one word at a time, one decision at a time. Amen. People look at Monica and go, man, I knew Monica, you know, 10 years ago. She's like a whole different person. Well, I've known Monica for a few years, too, and she is a whole different person. But she didn't just one day walk into the church and go, oh, boo-hoo, Jesus, I hate my life. And then bing, and it was just bing, it's all new. No, she, in case you don't really know this, she's still being worked on. Yeah, you ought to have seen the look on her face this morning when I walked in here, and I said, she goes, what's your topic, Pastor? I said, watch your words. She goes, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, we need this. We need this. I need this. I need to watch my words. So Proverbs is telling us that our words will produce fruit. It said, with, you know, the fruit of his lips, a man's filled with good things. That was Proverbs 12. Now Proverbs 13, from the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. Goes on to say, if you guard your lips, you guard your life. And he who speaks rashly comes to ruin. Now it's interesting, this next verse looks like he changes the subject, but he really doesn't. Watch this. The sluggard craves, but gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. You say, well, that's talking about being lazy. If you're lazy, you won't get nothing. But if you're diligent, that means you work hard and you pay attention to detail. Go look up these words if you don't know what they mean. The word diligent means someone who pays careful attention to the details. What details were we just talking about? Well, he said the fruit of your lips will produce good things in your life. And then he said, if you guard your lips, you guard your life. And then he says, then a sluggard wants stuff but don't get it. Why not? Because their words are wrong. That's why. The sluggard part of it is this. They're too lazy to watch their words. They're too spiritually lazy to watch their words. I don't want to have to watch my words. You know, God knows whether I mean it or whether I don't mean it, whether I want it or I don't want it. Of course God does, but God's not the only one involved. Come on. There's an enemy that wants to use your words against you. There's a God that wants to use your faith-filled words for you, and then there's you. And out of those three beings, God, the enemy, the devil, and you, which of those three beings has been given the authority in your life? Does the devil have authority in your life? I pray not. Does God have authority in your life? Yes, I pray he does, but whoever has authority in their life, guess what? They get it from you. Somebody goes, well, I don't, old devil just messing with me. Well, quit. We'll make him quit. He doesn't have a right to mess with you. You're a born-again Christian person. The devil has no right to do things in your life. Just get him out. If I got chickens and I go in my hen house and there's a fox in there, I'm not going to stand in there and complain about how the fox is eating the chickens. I'm getting that sucker out of the hen house. You know, if your eggs taste funny because there's a skunk in your hen house, get the skunk out of the hen house. Don't just gripe about the quality of the eggs. You say, well, how do I get the devil out of my life? For one thing, quit inviting him into your life with those words you've been using. And I'm not just talking about cuss words, dirty words, profane words, speaking profanity. That's bad. We all know that's bad. You don't need me to tell you that's bad. But a lot of times what we don't realize, it's not the profanity words that's your, you. Well, I'm not saying those no more. I quit saying those. Good. But are you still talking negative all the time? Are you still speaking negative? Or are you trying to best align yourself up with what God says and speak that? We've got to do that. And when something happens and someone sets us off, we can't jump out there in the arena of emotion and just start venting. Because words matter. Words matter. Let's look at Proverbs 18. We're getting close to our mid-break. We've already, I feel like, pretty well established the fact that your words do matter, because James said, like a bit in a horse's mouth, it directs the whole horse. Like a rudder on a ship directs the course of the ship. He said, he's pointing us to the power of our words. And then we go to Proverbs and says, well, with the fruit of your mouth, you're going to have good or you're going to have bad. Proverbs 18:20. Let's keep going. Proverbs, book of wisdom, by the way. Here we go again. Proverbs 18:20. From the fruit of his mouth. Fruit of his mouth. Apples produce. Apples are grown on apple trees. You know. Say, well, I like apples. Well, good. Plant apples. I don't like, you know, here's the funny thing. A lot of time people sowing sandbur words and hoping for apples. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow what God says, you're going to reap what God says. The fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled with the harvest from his lips. He's satisfied. Called it fruit, called it harvest. And here's the verse. Boy, if this one doesn't establish it, I don't know what does. The tongue, verse 21, Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, both. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those that love it will eat its fruit. Well, your tongue's going to produce some fruit. Question is, going to produce life fruit or death fruit? And even medical science has figured out that when a person's attitude is positive and their words are positive, and when people are receiving prayer, I like some of those studies they've done where they had people in a hospital and they have done studies where they had church groups and prayer groups pray. They gave them a list of the individual's names, and they had some patients that were being prayed for and some that weren't. And science proves that even though those patients didn't know if they were being prayed for or they weren't being prayed for, those that were being prayed for had a more marked recovery than those that weren't. Prayer works. You see, why does prayer work? Because words have power of life and death. One of the things I have a habit of almost always when I'm praying for someone, if they're being afflicted in some way, physically or even emotionally or spiritually, I speak life in the name of Jesus over their body. I speak life to those cells. I speak life to that, whatever it is. I speak life. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says that there is the power of life and death in the tongue. I also speak death. If I'm praying for someone and cancer is attacking their body, if I feel prompted in the Holy Spirit, I speak death to those cancer cells. I command those cancer cells to begin to die and dissipate and evaporate and be cast out. And I speak life into that immune system. I command that immune system in the name of Jesus begin to respond with life. You see, why do you do that? Because the Bible says there's the power of life and death are in the tongue. And guess what? I believe the Bible. Amen. Do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, then let's act like we believe the Bible. Amen. And so, I don't know. I'm not convinced. Well, we're not even close to done yet. And you ought to be convinced because we've already looked at four passages of Scripture that I didn't make up, and neither did any human being. But it's the Word of God. And the Word of God says that our mouths will produce fruit. Just like a tree produces a certain kind of fruit, our mouth can produce fruit. And that fruit can be good fruit or bad fruit. But whatever you've been saying and believing, it's going to become the reality of your life. So the good news is, see, I don't like my life. Well, good news is God has given you the power to change it. You can begin to speak words that will bring change to your life. The first words you might need to say is, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Those words will change your life. Guarantee you. Amen to that. We're going to take a prayer break. If you haven't got a prayer request to us, get it to us. We'd love to pray for you and release our faith with words to believe God's goodness for you.